Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
So we want to dedicate ourselves to increasing our knowledge of God. Extremely, vitally important that we have to increase our knowledge of God. Hallelujah. For example, this week, I discovered something that surprised me in a very good way. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles to the book of Colossians. Chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. It's in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 1. Are we there? And I want us to read from verse 15. Amen. I told you I'm still stuck in the book of Colossians. I've been reading for the last month or two the same book. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says that who is the image of the invisible God? Is it there? Am I quoting correctly? And then in verse 16, it says that it's talking about Jesus. It says that He created all things. Right? He created the heavens. He created the earth. He created things that are visible. He created things that are invisible. He created, it says, whether they be thrones, whether they be dominions, whether they be principalities, whether they be powers. All things were created by Him. Hallelujah. Is that in your Bible? What a blessed scripture. Now, one of the things that came up when I was reading this is that He created the heaven and He created the earth. The heaven here speaks of the universe. The stars, the moons, the planets, the galaxies, and so on and so forth. Everything that when you look up into the sky, especially at night, everything that you see, and more that we do not see, He created it. And the Bible says He created this planet that we live in called Earth. He also created it. Now the fantastic thing, Karabo, He says He created the invisible things. And the visible things. In other words, in the universe, there are things that are visible and there are things that are invisible. On the earth, there are things that are visible and there are things that are invisible. You know what invisible means? You can't see them, cannot be seen. And so He continues to explain, what are these visible and invisible things, or invisible? He says, whether they be thrones. A throne is a seat where a king sits. Whether they be dominions. Dominion is a domain, an area that a king rules. For example, South Africa is Ramaphosa's domain as the president of this country. He rules this country. I just heard that he gave us the 27th of December as a public holiday. Why? Because he has the power to do so. But he can't go to Zimbabwe or where? America. He can't go there and say 27th is a holiday. Did you hear me? He can't. Because he doesn't rule over those other countries. It's only South Africa that he rules over. So there are kings that are seen, there are kings that are not seen. There are areas of dominion that are seen, and there are those that are not seen. There are principalities that are seen, and those that are not seen. When Daniel was under captive with the children of Israel in Babylon, he went on a 21-day prayer and fasting. And on the 21st day, an angel appeared to him. And this angel said to him, when you started praying on day one, God heard your prayer, and I was dispatched to come and give you the answer to your prayer. But he said, as I was coming, the prince of Persia resisted me. So this prince of Persia was not a prince that could be seen. He was an invisible prince. Because in Persia, there was a king. And that king is not the one that resisted the angel. Then the Bible talks about powers. There are powers that can be seen, and there are powers that cannot be seen. Now come with me to the book of Luke chapter 24. This is where it becomes extremely interesting. I'm just trying to encourage us to grow in our knowledge of God. Hallelujah. And I want to show you God's creative style. In creating the heavens and the earth, he has a design style. He has a style. Like you, when you build your house, you have your own style. When you decorate your house, you have your own style, isn't it? God also has his own style. Luke 24, are we there? Verse 39. This one I'll need somebody to read for me. Quickly, quickly. Luke 24, verse 39. Maybe take it from verse 35, somewhere there.
Okay, verse 35. Then they themselves related in full what had happened on the road, mm-hmm. and how he was known and recognized by them mm-hmm. in the breaking of bread. Now while they were talking about this, Jesus himself took stand among them and said to them, Peace, freedom from all the distresses that are experienced as the result of sin be
all
to
right.
you.
Pause there. My two brothers here, can you please come and help me preach? Quickly. Paul, come and be Jesus. Come, brothers. So the Bible says, come, one stand here, one stand on the other side. We are walking in that direction. The Bible says, two of them were talking and they were walking. Let's walk. And they were discussing, you know, something that had just happened. And as they were walking and discussing, all of a sudden, Jesus appeared. Someone say, appeared. Not that they saw him coming. He, do you understand what I mean? He suddenly appeared in the midst of them. All right, thank you. Put your hands together for that. Continue reading for me.
Peace be to you. Mm-hmm. But they were so startled and terrified that they thought they saw a spirit.
They were so startled and terrified that they thought they saw a spirit. Why? Why would they think that? Because of the way he just appeared. If now, one day a friend of mine told me a very wonderful story. He lives in Limpopo. Okay? Maybe I shouldn't have said Limpopo. But Limpopo is known for certain things. True or not true? Yeah. One time, another friend of his went to preach there in Limpopo. And he held a crusade. And after he called people to receive Jesus, he started praying for them. When he got to a very short boy like this, a small boy, he looked at him like this and said, where now? Where now? Where now? Ever since you came here, I can't fly anymore. So one time, this friend of mine decided that he wants to pray against a certain church. A certain church, if you understand what I mean. Because where he was living close to that church. Do you understand? Yeah, close to my heart. While he was praying, all of a sudden, the pastor of that church, this is a true story, appeared in their home and started laughing. I tell you, run away. One time a certain church was praying, oh Jesus, we want to see you. Oh Jesus, we want to see you. And all of a sudden the roof opened and Jesus started coming down. Come and see the people who are saying they want to see Jesus. They were hiding behind chairs. They were hiding under tables. You see, when something just suddenly appears, it will startle you. It will shock you. Do you understand? Continue, my sister.
38. And he said to them, why are you disturbed and troubled? And why do such doubts and questioning arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Feel and handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have.
Wow. A spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. What a powerful word. Now, God's power is that he can create things that are seen and things that cannot be seen. Now, when Jesus was resurrected, he was given a new body that Paul calls a spiritual body or a spirit body. Now, for the first time, I came to the realization, because Jesus says this body is flesh and blood. Because he said, feel me. I'm not a spirit. I'm flesh and blood. But his flesh and blood was in a higher level than our flesh and blood. Because this new flesh and blood that he has is not the same as ours. This new one, he can disappear and appear. One time the Bible says that the disciples were hiding from the Jews and they had locked the windows and locked the doors and they were praying. While they were in that situation, all of a sudden Jesus appeared in front of them. And he says he is flesh and blood. Oh, beautiful things. So we have to grow in our knowledge of God to understand these things. And 2023, we have to devote ourselves to increasing our knowledge of God. By the end of next year, if your knowledge of God has not increased, then something is wrong. We must grow. We must grow. I said we must grow. Tell your neighbor, you must grow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I want to see us growing next year. So as a church, that will be our major focus, our spiritual development, where our knowledge of God increases, where the influence of God in your life increases. I listen to me, somebody. Amen.
Amen.
All right, for 20 minutes, I want to finish off my message that I started last week, all about backsliding. And last week I began to tell you that, or the last 2 weeks rather, that we are supposed to be pillars of fire, flaming fire. And I told you that we are supposed to be passionate for God. Tell your neighbor, say, the way your eyes look, I don't see passion for God. Tell your neighbor, they are too sleepy on a Sunday like this. You must be on fire. Tell anyone, say, I want to be on fire. You know, this brother, we just buried someone very close to him today. And so during the week, I was just telling him how everything is going to work, you see. And then he said, okay, Pastor, so when we come back, then I'll come with you guys to church. I said, yeah. No, but I didn't show him that I'm surprised. I was surprised at what he was saying. So I said to him, you know, this is the one time that I will understand when you don't come to church. You've just, you know, lost somebody. And I was trying to say to him, you know, decide, make the decision on Saturday. Check how the situation is. But I could see the man has made up his decision that on Sunday I'm coming to church. Eesh. Someone who has passion. Those who don't have passion, it looks odd. Let me leave that one. One day, Jesus was passing somewhere and he called some guys and he said, follow me. And the one guy said, let me just go bury my father. And he said, bury who? What did he say, bury who? Did he say my aunt or my uncle? My father. A father is someone who's close. Then Jesus said, let the dead bury what? Those were the words of Jesus, not of the pastor. Fire for God. Someday spiritual things will not look odd in Jesus' name. And someday unspiritual things will look funny. The day that you are unspiritual, you look funny. Someday it will happen in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So we have to have passion for this God. We must love him with all our hearts. And I told you that fire means passion. And I began to explain certain areas where God expects you to be passionate about. And I told you the first one must be your love for him. You must be passionately in love with God. It's very important. Are you listening to me? Secondly, you must be passionately in love with the word of God. And not just reading it. There are people who are serial unbelievers who know the Bible more than you, but they don't believe in God. Because reading is not enough. You must believe what you are reading and you must live what you are reading. And that's where many Christians get left behind. They don't live what they are reading. They don't believe what they are reading. The other day, one of my daughters fell ill. And we came to pray for her. And eventually we had to drive her to hospital. And one of the things that she said to me is that, Pastor, I was feeling cold. So a couple of months later, all of a sudden, I'm sitting on my desk. I'm working and I'm getting ready to start reading my Bible. And suddenly my feet start getting cold. And it's not winter. It's spring. It was around springtime. And my feet start getting cold. And they get colder and colder. So I try to wear socks and, you know, wear something just to keep myself warm. But they refused. They just kept getting colder. Eventually I was so cold that I felt that I need to go into the blanket. And no matter what I did, I tried everything. My feet were refusing to get cold. Huh? To get warm, sorry. You are awake, you are awake. Put your hands together for yourself. And so, as I was there, I remember this daughter of mine saying that I was feeling cold. I said, no. I took out my blanket and I released tongues. Mekapo shata, lupante, ruzivakote, rajepeketo, rezabanda. And I said to God, if there is anyone who is trying me, let them die today. This was my prayer. And I was feeling extremely cold and I started feeling pain. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I fought it. So, It is one thing to know that God heals, but it's one thing to believe that he heals and to stand upon his word and activate his word in your life. Is it something else? Many people just read, but to actually live that word is something different. And we have to be so passionate about the word of God that we don't just want to read it only, but we want to live it. Tell a neighbor, you must live it. Let me continue because there's something important I want to tell you today. Then you must also be passionate about prayer. You must have a passion for prayer. I told you that if you are a praying person, you are more dangerous than Russia and America combined, and China also. We can add China. Your prayers are dangerous. I told you the story some years ago. My grandfather passed away, and there had been a number of people that had been passing away from my family over a short space of time. And when we were on our way to KZN, as I was driving, the Lord spoke to me. Sometimes we so long to hear the voice of God, but sometimes when he talks, we wish he didn't talk. And he said to me, "My son, when you get there, I want you to pray. Grab the mic and start praying." When he said it, I said, "No, I can't do that." I said, "It is not normal to get to a funeral and pray. You have to say things about the person who had died." This, as I was now trying to argue that what you are saying is unreasonable. I can't go and do that. And he just kept quiet. So as we were driving, 4-hour trip, I was fighting with my heart. Do I obey God or do I not obey God? So my mother spoke to me and said to me, "You know, you are going to have to speak." And I said, "Somebody else can speak." And she said, "Your cousin will speak." I said, yeah, he can speak. Because I knew what God wanted me to do and I was afraid to do it. So on that funeral, as much as I avoided to speak, the mic kept landing on my hand. And eventually it landed on my hand. And when it landed on my hand, I forgot everything. And the only thing I knew was to pray. And I said, "Let us pray." And when I prayed, the Lord had told me what to pray. He said, "I must decree that nobody will die in this family anymore under the age of 70 years old." So I took the mic and I declared it and I decreed. And I said, "It is the last time. Nobody will die under the age of 70. It's no joke. People are looking at me like I'm crazy. Then I said, "Amen," and I gave away the mic. Then somebody else got the mic and started talking about my grandfather. And I'm like, "Oh, but I couldn't." All the memories of my grandfather started coming back to my mind. I said, "But I could have said this, I could have said that." But when I grabbed the mic, everything vanished. And the only thing that I could think of was prayer. To obey the Lord. Then recently, somebody sent me a text and said, "I saw one of your aunts dying." And I responded, I said, "Thank you." When I put the phone down, I said, "God, you and I have an agreement. There's nobody who can die under the age of 70 in this family. This dream, I cancel it. It will never come to pass in the mighty name of Jesus. They will live." So recently my aunt was around and she was talking and say, "You know, we are getting old. Now you are the one." And I said to her, "You will never die before 70. You see, you have to be passionate about these things. It's not just you read them, but you have to speak them. You have to pray about them. You have to enforce them. Otherwise, the devil will land in your house and start playing with your children and start playing with your finances and start playing with your health. You have to be passionate about these things. The amens are not blessing me. Ask your neighbor, say, are you passionate about prayer? Ask your neighbor, say, are you passionate about prayer? Some of you, you downplay prayer. You downplay it. Some of you want to pray when it's too late. I always tell somebody that I want to fight the devil while he's far. I don't want to fight him in my home ground. That's what America is doing. They are fighting Russia in Ukraine. They don't want bombs coming to their land. So they say, Ukraine, we'll give you all the weapons. Fight this guy. And Ukraine is being bombed every day. Me too, I want to fight the devil like that. From far. I don't want him playing around here. Because as we are fighting, one punch can land on my daughter. As we are fighting, one punch will land on my wife. So let's fight in his home ground. So that when I miss him, I hit his devil. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So you must be passionate about it. And you must believe in it. Believe in your prayers. Believe in your prayers. Your prayers are powerful. Your prayers are powerful. When I was a student, I used to stop exams and tests. I used to tell God, I'm not ready for this test. I cancel it in the name of Jesus. And I'll walk into the classroom and the lecturer will say, oh, all the tests have disappeared. I don't know where they are. And I will just smile. A passion for prayer. Someone say, a passion for prayer. All right, Ramaphosa is going to switch off his electricity. Another thing we have, we must have a passion for the house of God. Someone say, a passion for the house of God. This is where also sometimes many Christians fail. They don't have a passion for the house of God. The Lord Jesus had a passion for his Father's house. One day he went to church and found that people had turned the church into a marketplace. They were selling and trading in the house of God. The Lord's passion was so much, he forgot to even talk. He took out his belt and started beating people. Hallelujah. May that anointing come back to the church. The belt anointing, I like it. He started beating people. He started beating people. And he said, it is written that my Father's house will be a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. A den is a cave, a place where thieves are comfortable to be, a place where thieves plan and conspire. Jesus said that my house had become a den of thieves. Many churches have become a den of thieves, unfortunately. Because many people are no longer passionate for the house of God. The house of God can almost be falling apart, and church people will just, and they just continue with their lives. They are no longer moved anymore. I knew the amens would be silent here. But we must have a passion for the house of God also. For the things that concern God. For the works of God. This house must succeed. And this house must succeed because you are here. Not because the pastor is here, but because you are here. Is this Healing Fire Ministries or is it another church? Can I hear an amen, please? It becomes dangerous when we stop having a passion for the house of God. We can turn the church to be what it's no longer supposed to be. Some churches are no longer churches. Some churches have become stockpiles. Some people join churches because of stockpiles. One lady, we invited her to our church, and the first question she asked us is, do we bury people like this? I said, sister, calm down. We've just invited you. You are already asking about burying people. Because when they think of church, they think of Umangcwabisana. Am I saying it correctly? What is Umangcwabisana ngesiNgisi? Huh? Bury one another. Hello? One time, the brothers were saying, no, pastor, when we finish building, we have to build a garden, and then we have to do a garden. I was listening, and I said, in my mind, I don't care about a garden. I'm not there at all, at all, at all. One of the things that stressed me about our church is that we only meet on Sundays. It's illegal, it's wrong, and it must come to an end. Why aren't we passionate about prayer? Why aren't we passionate about making the house of God a house of prayer? Why can't we gather on a Wednesday and meet here and pray and fire the word? Last week I was telling them that I want to stop cooking in the church. You know, when we have Easter, we cook. I said, I want to stop it. And they tried to convince me, no, pastor, don't stop it. It is because I see some people, when we say we are cooking, hey, they are moving. You see speed. You see, yeah, okay, pastor, we are going to do this. And then we are going to do that. And then, when we say we are coming for fasting and prayer. When I say there's a service like that, when I say there's a meeting, pastor, you know, I can't make it. Pastor, there's a... But come and say we are cooking. I know you won't say amen. It's okay. I'm just preaching to myself. You see, sometimes the passion can be misplaced. We have to go back to basics and be passionate about the things we have to be passionate about. When you come to church Sunday after Sunday, you are sitting next to an empty chair and it doesn't move you. There is something wrong. You are not passionate about the house of God. It doesn't concern you. When you come to church and you don't see certain people in the house of God and you are not moved, it's just another Sunday to you. You are not passionate about the house of God. The house of God can be falling apart and you are here and it doesn't move you. Rather, when you get home, you laugh. You know, the church these days is no longer... Mamrud, let me preach here. They've forgotten their amens today. Some of you, you'll be, church starts at 10 o'clock. 11 o'clock, you'll be strolling. Ngadime, beg. It's 11. You're not even trying to say, I'm late. You just be coolly. No passion. It's dead. It's finished. No passion. It's gone. It's moving slowly. You haven't even walked in, you're already yawning. But babalas. I didn't say it wasn't me who said babalas. Your passion must come back alive. I was telling Apostle Paul during the week, you know, I kind of differ with the wonderful message that we had before we came here about grieving has no time period. There's a time period. Tell your neighbor there's a time period. There's a time period. You can't grieve forever. Can't. The Bible says that in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, God tells Joshua, he said, my son Moses is dead. Did you hear? My son Moses is dead. Within the same sentence, in the same breath, he tells him that now the responsibility is on you to take my children into the promised land. He didn't allow him too much time to be grieving and crying and feeling sad. He reminded him that there's a mission that we have to accomplish. It's not wrong to feel sad, but you can't feel sad forever. At some point, it must stop and you must start living. There are a lot of people who are depending on you. If you are going to be feeling sad for the next 2 years, what's going to happen to the people around you? Hallelujah. Yeah. There's a mission. There's a call. There's a work that we have to fulfill. We must be passionate about it. Everybody is doing their own things in this life. There must be some people who are passionate about God. There must be some people who are passionate about the things of God. There must be some people who are passionate about the house of God. When that fire starts going down, you are in a journey of backsliding. Your backsliding has begun. When there's no more passion anymore, you are backsliding. And some have already backslidden. Don't let that fire die. Tell your neighbor, say, don't let that fire die, please. Yeah. Now, let me close with this for the last 15 minutes that I have, which is really what I came to tell you today. Why do people backslide? Why do we backslide? Why does that passion fade away? Why don't we love God the way we used to love Him? Why don't we pray the way we used to pray? Why don't we read the Bible the way we used to read it? Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew. What happened to my Bible? Chapter 16. Ask your neighbor, are you still here? You've gone home. Matthew 16 and verse 24. Please read for me.
Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself, disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself and his own interest."
If anyone wants to be what? Huh?
if anyone desires to be my disciple.
My disciple. Is there anyone who desires to be a disciple of Jesus here in the church? Lift up your hand, I want to see. A disciple of Jesus is a follower of Jesus. Do you understand? So, to those who lifted up their hands, what did Jesus say to them? If anyone wants to be my what? Keep reading.
If anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself.
Let him what?
Deny. Disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself and his own interest, and take up his cross and follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me.
You are reading too fast. Let him do what? Deny himself.
Disregard and lose sight.
Disregard himself. Lose sight of himself.
And forget him.
Do you still want to be a disciple or you change your mind? Are you sure? The Bible says you must deny yourself. It says you must disregard yourself. In other words, you must become a nothing, a zero. Are you ready to be a zero? Are you sure? And it says you must forget yourself. Forget yourself. Continue, sister.
Forget himself and his own interest.
And your own interests. If you want to be what? A disciple. A follower. Of the King of Kings. Of the Lord of Lords. You have to forget yourself. Forget your interests. Yes, continue.
And take up his cross and follow me.
Cleave
steadfastly to me. Conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in denying also. For whoever is bent on saving his temporal life, his comfort and security here, shall lose it. And whoever loses his life, his comfort and security here, for my sake, shall find it life everlasting.
Read that verse one more time.
For whoever is bent on saving himself.
Whoever is bent on saving himself or herself.
His comfort and security here.
His comfort and security here on the earth. What will happen to that person?
Shall lose it.
Shall lose it. The reason why people backslide is because they are trying to save themselves. Whenever you try to save yourself, you open the door to backsliding. Go to Jeremiah chapter 20, read from verse 7 quickly. I'll show you more practically. Jeremiah 20, verse 7 to verse 9. Quickly, sister, we've got 10 minutes left. Almost 5, rather, 5.
Jeremiah 20, verse 7. But Jeremiah said, O Lord, you have persuaded and deceived me, and I was persuaded and deceived. You are stronger than...
Listen to Jeremiah. He said God lied to him. Can God lie? He can't lie. Jeremiah said, God, you persuaded me. You convinced me. You lied to me. Continue.
You are stronger than I am, and you have prevailed. I am a laughingstock all the day, everyone mocks me.
I have become a laughingstock. All the day. You see, Jeremiah was a prophet. And he was prophesying to the children of Israel about events that will take place because of their disobedience of God. And what was happening is that the things he was prophesying, play for me, please. The things he was prophesying, they were not coming to pass. And all his prophecies were difficult prophecies. All of them, they were judgmental type of prophecies. To the point that he became a laughingstock in the community. Continue.
Verse 8. For whenever I speak, I must cry out and complain. I shout violence and destruction, for the word of the Lord has become to me a reproach and a derision and has brought me insult all day long.
The word of God has brought me insult all day long. Sometimes you come to church, you wake up, you get, you dress, you come, and we encourage you. Next year is your year. This is your year of breakthrough. This is your year. And then year after year comes, you are still sick. Year after year comes, there's no breakthrough. You know, in the world, they say there's light at the end of the tunnel. You've been walking in the tunnel, you can't see any light. And your neighbors and your friends who don't know God are now driving Mercedes Benz. They're now living in their own house. They're actually now even making it bigger. And you start thinking that maybe what's slowing me down is this God thing, this church thing. And you start trying to save yourself from the embarrassment that you feel, that my life should be here. When you start trying to save yourself, that's where you open the door of backsliding. Do you understand what I'm saying, or you don't get it? I've seen many, many believers who love God. But when life becomes a little bit difficult, they'll rather choose to save themselves than to keep trusting God and believing God that He will turn your life around. You start moving with friends that you know you should not be moving with. You start applying for jobs that you know you shouldn't be applying for. Because you know that if I take this one, there goes my spiritual life. But for the sake of trying to save yourself, you take it. And it starts by, you know, Pastor, I'm going to come to church week in, week out. Oh, okay, no problem. Then, okay, now Pastor, it's 2 weeks in, 2 weeks out. Then Pastor, it's 3 weeks in, 1 week out. Then before we know, we don't see you anymore. You don't like what I'm preaching. Why do I feel arrows hitting me? You're a young man. Everybody around you has boyfriends and girlfriends. To the point that now you feel bad. You feel bad. And then also now you also want to have a... trying to save yourself. Then you've opened the door of backsliding. There are many things, many things, many things where people take the decision. One of the guys is Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot had big dreams. So if I follow this Jesus, we are going to be rich. If I follow this Jesus, we are going to be famous. And Jesus started saying, I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified. Then all of Judas Iscariot's dreams just started vanishing when he heard those things. Then he decided, let me save myself. I've been working with this guy for 3 years. Let me at least get something out of the 3 years I've been working with this guy. Then he went to his enemies. And he said, if I bring him to you, what will you give me? And they agreed, negotiated for 30 pieces of silver, 300 rand. Somebody can sell you for 300 rand. Look at your neighbors. You look suspicious. They can sell you for 300 rand and finish you for 300 rand trying to save themselves. Judas Iscariot betrayed his master, betrayed his creator, betrayed his God for 300 rand. Because he thought that this guy who's talking about dying, when he dies, I would have lost 3 years of my life. When you start thinking about saving yourself, when you think about prayer, when you think about it, I say, phew, I'm tired. If I wake up in the morning, I'll be tired. I'm going to work. I'm going to this. And then you think about saving yourself, that your prayer life is gone. When you think about reading your Bible and you are thinking that, hey, this, if I do this, I'll be tired. If I do this, you'll never read the Bible again. Every time you think about saving yourself, can you tell your neighbor, say, saving myself, please? Do you understand what it means? Tell your neighbor. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Whenever your mind starts thinking of saving yourself, that's where you start going into backsliding. That's where it begins. Saving yourself. Read Matthew 16. Let's close with it. The same scripture we read. From verse 24.
Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself.
Let him deny himself. Yes.
Disregard.
Disregard.
Lose sight of. And forget himself. And your own interests. And take up his cross and follow
me. This is the only way you can keep the fire of God. It's the only way. If you cannot let go of yourself, you cannot be passionate for him. Some of you sitting here, you used to be on fire when you were younger. You used to love him with passion. You never used to miss anything relating to the things of God. But over time, you started trying to save yourself. You started trying to save your status in your community, trying to save your status in your family. And over time, you have neglected your God so that you can please the people around you. If you want to serve God and be passionate about him, you have to become a nothing, a zero. A what? A zero. The moment, while you are still alive, while you still have ambitions, you can never, ever. The fire will go down. It will go down. I was telling Paul, that Mr. Paul, I sent you to Soshanguve to go and preach to the brethren. I was telling him that you have changed a life. You have changed a life. If you didn't go, somebody would have dropped out already. But because of your presence there, because of your prayers there, you have saved somebody. But Paul, if you only went there with only himself in his mind, only thinking about himself, then a lot of people who need him would be suffering too.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.